All right. Hey, everybody. Hey, Celeste. I am Dr. Sophia. Welcome to another episode of Sex in the Bull City. I have been MIA for a little while from the podcast. I'm super excited to be back here with you, Celeste. And we're going to have a good time today talking about gender diversity, transgender care. We're probably just going to touch on a few issues and then see whatever else we might want to get into more deeply in some subsequent episodes. But welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. If you're here and you're listening, please share. We really want to expand our listenership and we want to get our amazing work that we're doing here at Bull City out there. I also want to take this opportunity to share with everyone our new practice in Charlotte, North Carolina. Very similar to Bull City, but we are adding a sex addiction, love addiction, and food addiction component, a comprehensive program. That practice is called Queen City Healthy Sex and Relationships, and it's in a super great area of Charlotte, lots of good, safe parking, and we're super excited about being able to expand to that part of North Carolina. We also do lots of workshops and online services, intensives also for people all over the world. So we're not just based only in North Carolina. I want to make sure that people understand that we can do a lot of this work through consultation, but also we can reach a lot of people through workshops. So anyway, yay, I'm glad we're here. Welcome, Celeste.
Hello, good to see you.
Good to be here. Yeah.
This is my favorite topics. And so I'm really excited to be talking about gender today. It's kind of a hot topic in our country right now. And I have some very particular opinions about it. And so, you know, as a clinician and as a human, this is a really important topic for us to be discussing today.
It is. You know, I wonder if we could just, this is definitely not a political show or anything, but I wonder, I mean, I like that you brought that up just to kind of put it out on the table and name it that, you know, all around the world, but specifically in our country, gender, just anything around gender and gender diversity or the continuum of sexuality and how people think about sexuality, it is something that is very polarizing. You know, I've noticed that either people are like, oh, I'm so on board with this, and I might not understand it, but I really want to learn about it and I want to support this, which is, I think, a lovely thing. Or people are just, you know, very probably fearful and not sure. They don't have enough of the facts to really understand. And maybe that's just a great place for us to start, is anything that we're talking about today, or really anything around diversity and transgender care, that for me, a goal for me is always about, you know, how to normalize and really help people who might not know a lot about these things to just take in a little bit more information that's not scary, and that, you know, where people can find acceptance and really realize that we're all just humans, just trying to figure out how to move through the world in whatever way our way is. And, you know, just a way to kind of bring us all together. I think that's a really nice just place for us to start. What do you think?
I think so. You know, one of the things that was really useful to me early on as I started my own journey through gender and the queer community and so forth, differences between gender expression, sex, sexual attraction, and biology. And, you know, I think it's really easy for us to kind of jumble all those things in our head. And so I just want to kind of give a couple of terms in the way that I use them, mm-hmm. so that people will understand how we're talking about things here. So gender expression is what's on the outside. It's how you dress. It's how you present your voice, your hair, maybe makeup, you know, whatever the outward appearance that you choose to have in this world. Gender identity is what's in your brain. Sex is completely different. It's biology. You're assigned male at birth, you're assigned female at birth. And even those things aren't really binary. I'm a biologist by training, and there is a wide range of diversity there. And all of those things are completely different from sexual attraction, which is whether you're attracted to bodies that are male, bodies that are female, bodies that are any gender. And so just understanding that all of those can be different for the same person, it really helped me when I was first here to learn about this.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example of what is confusing. And for me, as a therapist, anything that's confusing is kind of a quick jump to I'm scared of it. If I don't understand it, I'm scared of it. I mean, that's what I see a lot and hear a lot of. And so, you know, I like that you explained all of that. So anyone who's listening and, you know, might not really feel comfortable with some of these conversations, or you know someone who might not be comfortable with some of these conversations, like it's normal when we don't understand something, when we're confused, to be afraid of it. And so, you know, it's okay. And this might be a nice learning opportunity just to kind of listen to some very easy conversation around, you know, just expanding a little bit more in this area and just learning about someone that might be different than you.
Like you said, we're all people.
Yeah.
People first.
Yeah, humans. Yeah, we're all just trying to do the same thing, live, right? So, yeah.
We're trying to figure out what makes sense for us.
Exactly. And you know, what a great thing that in our country today, we've got a lot of problems, but we also have some freedoms around this, which is pretty cool. For people to be able to be, you know, having some choice around some of these things. So at Bull City and also at Queen City, just to let everybody know, several years ago, I got my certification in transgender care. I think, Celine, you're probably going to be doing the same thing.
I'm halfway through.
Yeah, halfway through. And that was really helpful for me. It was an area that as a therapist, I knew I wanted to get into. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that work until I had a lot more education, you know, for me to be able to really be effective and help people in that space. But, you know, for me as a therapist and also being a woman, we were just talking about what we're going to share about ourselves. I am born biologically a female and feel comfortable being a female, but I have always, always been, if you know me personally, you know me to be very, very assertive, very much like a male in so many ways of how I talk, how I act, hobbies that I have, interests that I have. I'm way into cars. I mean, you know, just like very, very, I've been told this my whole life and I never shy away from a conflict. I am all over it. And, you know, so me, I'm 53. When I was younger, I had no frame of reference for understanding any of this and understanding that I could still be a woman and be female and be attracted to men, but be very masculine in a lot of the ways that I move through the world. And so that's a big reason of why I got involved in wanting to be a transgender care therapist is to understand all of this more, but also to be able to help people today who are, you know, who do have probably more going on than I did, but the world is different now that they have choice. And I really wanted to be an advocate for clients and families. I've worked with families my whole career, starting out working with kids. So this whole notion of children and teenagers, really believing that they were in the wrong body has always been very, very intriguing to me. And I've always wanted to be on the front lines of that. And I enjoy working with parents and caregivers around this too, because there's a lot of grief around, you know, losing what you thought you had, and then being able to turn that into, oh, I still have this person, and now they're just happy and comfortable. But there's a lot of work to get there usually for people. So that's really my reasoning for being interested in this area. And I'm just super grateful that I added this certification.
Yeah, for me, I identify as cisgender. Meaning that I biologically was born with a female body, and I identify as a female in my gender expression and my gender identity. So for me, this getting this transgender certification is about two things. One is using my cisgender privilege for good. While following the lead of people who are transgender diverse, I believe that it's important that my voice be heard on their behalf. And one of the ways that I can contribute to that and use my privilege for good is by being a voice and being a safe place for them. The other place that I am a little more personally impacted here is I'm kind of in my own gender journey, in that I have an intersex condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it means that my body produces so much estrogen, which is the female hormone, that some of it gets converted into testosterone, which is the male hormone. And so in some ways, like, I shave my facial hair, and, you know, some of these other kinds of outward appearance kind of ways, my body is a little bit male, not a lot, but a little bit. And, you know, I think that has had me looking at myself and, you know, trying to become comfortable with my body and the things that it does and the things I don't want it to do. And moving through the world in that space, I've identified with people who are trying to figure their bodies out.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why I'm here and talking about transgender care and gender diversity. You know, I want to come back to something that you said. I really like your idea around grief. And this idea that the person you knew is gone, but not gone. And different, but still the same. And that there's kind of this process of grieving. I don't know if you're familiar with ring theory. It was originally from Silk and Goldman. They printed it in the LA Times somewhere along the way. But it was around grief when things like cancer diagnosis, death in the family, something like that, that there is a set of concentric circles. The person who is directly affected by the big event, whatever it is, is in the center. And then there are people just outside that in another circle, and they are there to support. And then there are people outside that are there to support them, and so forth. And the idea is that in that circle, if you are at the center, it is not your job to take care of the people in the other circles. If you're the person grieving, or if you're the person going through a transition,
yeah,
or you're the person figuring out your identity, it's not your job to manage your parents' feelings. It's not your job to manage your family and friends and how they are responding. Their job is to show up. So where do those people go with those outer circles? I think that's a role that we can play, that they can support their child, and they can be there for them, and they can support toward, like, inward in the circles.
Yeah, I could. Well, go ahead.
And then dump out. Like, bring me your concerns and your questions and your doubts and the things that you are, like, grieving.
Yeah.
And don't put it on your child.
Yes. Yeah, and that, boy, that can really go for everything around parenting, right? Yeah.
True.
Let's just say that and then get back to transgender care. And so, yeah, as parents, we, you know, it's our responsibility to give our children care, comfort, safety, nurturing, and affection. It's not our responsibility to, like you say, dump what we're experiencing onto them. Because, you know, parents, honestly, they feel that even when we're not doing it. So they're getting it anyway. They're soaking it up from us. You know, our attachment is such. But it's so important. If you are a parent who is experiencing any kind of gender questioning, I mean, just that. There's a lot of grief around that. It's that ambiguous grief. The person is changing, or so we perceive. The relationship is changing, or so we perceive. And, you know, if we can learn how to feel and process that grief in a helpful, effective, and healthy way, it's really possible to show up for our kids much differently, like to truly show up like you're saying. And yes, as therapists, and especially at Bull City, I mean, we specialize in grief work and transgender care. That's, you know, we can be super helpful in that. I've also had many of my transgender clients also experiencing a lot of ambiguous grief, because their relationship with their families or friends is drastically changing. So it, you know, it's not just from parents about their children, but, you know, the weight of whoever might be going through this, just even if it's just questioning, not just transitioning, it's very heavy, and they're feeling a lot of grief around changing the relationship, and that's just a good way to process through, is to really realize that that's okay to be sad and to feel that grief and to move through it, because feeling grief helps us not be stuck. So it's a helpful way to kind of move through some the beginning parts of this relationally.
You know, I'm thinking a lot right now about families and parents specifically. Not because I think that they're the only people who need care, but because I think they have such a significant role to play in that. Like, when you have a supportive experience of transitioning, it drops the suicide rate. Mm-hmm. It drops the way that people are experiencing their children. I believe so much in this that I am working on a class I'm going to be offering, very low cost, $10, around parenting for gender diversity. And so, you know, if we have parents who are experiencing something like this, that are, you know, your kids have come to you and said, I'm questioning, or maybe you as a parent question, that can happen too. How do you navigate that? And how do you be the parent you want to be in that situation? The tips and tricks that I'm going to start with here in the podcast today, the most important thing you can do, and this is for anybody supporting someone who is transitioning, is to believe them about their experience. So if they say, I know I was born a girl, but or you told me I was a girl bonus, but I'm not. That's really not who I am. It's your job to believe them and show up for them. That's how you offer care, comfort, safety, nurture, affection. That's how you do it. You believe them about their experience. Be curious. Don't make them do all the educating. Like, go online. There's a whole internet worth of information, or show up for my class. Be curious, but believe them. Don't try to convince them that it's a phase. So what if it's a phase? It's a real phase. Don't try to tell them that there's something wrong with them when it's a mental illness, because it's not. Can they have mental illness anyway? Sure. But being transgender is not an illness. Support them with their pronouns. This is a really big deal today that most of our kids understand that, you know, if somebody says my pronouns are, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They know that we're talking about gender diversity, and it's important to kids. Mm-hmm. It matters to them. So showing up for them in that way, even if it takes some practice, even if it takes correcting yourself.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm thinking about, like, kind of how I started thinking about this at the very beginning of this podcast, the fearful parents. I mean, you and I have both worked as teachers. We've both worked in the school system for a long time. So we're pretty passionate about caregiving, parenting, families, and and really supporting caregivers to be able to better be with their children or whoever that they're supporting or supposed to be supporting. But, you know, if a lot of parents, certainly that I have known, there's a fear, you know, hearing anything about this, some of the first feelings are not like, oh, what my kid needs. Instead, it's, oh, how am I going to deal? What does this mean for me? Oh, is this going to be embarrassing for me? What am I going to tell people at the church? Or, you know, whatever their issue might be. And I think I just want to, again, normalize this whole experience that as caregivers and parents, it's okay to be thinking about yourself. However, that's really something that needs to be handled with a therapist, because that's a very heavy load to work through on one's own. And that will accidentally come out with your child. It's just that's what happens in parenting. We all make mistakes. It happens. I certainly have done it too about my own stuff many moons ago. But I think it's so important to be able to separate out what's our stuff as parents and what's really our kids' stuff. And if our child is coming to us sharing anything around gender or sexuality or questioning or anything at all, it's really important to know that that has nothing to do with parents. They're really coming to us for help and guidance. It's not about what kind of parent someone was. It's not about how someone's household was or what kind of religion they might or might not be in or what their family's like. It's not about those things. It's really about this individual child and person, and they really need support, especially if they're a young person. And I just really encourage any parent who is not sure that they can fully do that or might be having fear or might have another parent who's very much not supportive, like even more, you've got to go get outside support, because that's just going to be very hard to work through just so that you can get your child the resources that they need.
Mm-hmm. I love that you are acknowledging that a lot of this comes from fear and your own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think as parents, it's, I know for me, I have a child, and it's really easy to try to take on guilt, like I did something wrong, when something happens with him. And gender diversity does not mean that you did something wrong as a parent.
Yeah.
It's not actually, like you said, it's not about you at all.
It's not about parents at all, really. They're just expressing their need of help. I mean, that's really that simple. And that's actually a really good thing for a child to go to a parent asking for help. To me, that's a really good sign. And yeah, so I just, you know, I think a lot of times as parents, we need to hear that some of these things really don't have anything to do with us. And this is one of them. This is definitely one of them. Yeah.
Coming to a level of acceptance with where your child is can mean sifting through a lot of your bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a painful process. And you might feel like it kind of hits you in the face. Like my child came to me and announced this thing about themselves. And now I feel all sorts of a mess inside. That's a thing you bring to a therapist, like you said. That is not their way to bear.
Yeah, that's a good way to say that.
That's our job, yeah, to walk through that with a family or parents. You know, I think it's important to talk to people who have training specifically around gender.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because we're talking about like core identity issues. We're talking about lifelong things that people have been uncomfortable with and can't face. About themselves, about their families, about their parents, about all of their relationships. And it creeps into all these other aspects of their lives. It's a big deal. Yeah. And having somebody that has done the work to understand where you are, to meet you where you are, it matters.
Mm.
And that's what we do at Wilson every day. We're meeting people around sex, around gender, wherever they are,
yeah,
and walking beside. So I'm really appreciating about this conversation that we've kind of come around this idea of how to be a parent. If your child is expressing gender diversity ideas, you know, we've talked about good ideas about believing them. We've talked about processing your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really easy to believe the way that we were raised. Religious ideas or political ideas or cultural ideas. I mean, the way that we're represented as genders in the media. It's really easy to just kind of swim in that water and not examine what we're doing. And I'm inviting people to bring us those things so that they can examine a safe environment with people that know.
Yeah, and I think the one, again, getting back to the fear around, as a parent, acknowledging that, oh, wait, my child is different than me. It could be about anything, not just talking about gender or anything like this, what we have in this conversation. It could be, my child learns different than me, or anything like that. Is socially different than who I'm comfortable being. So, as parents and caregivers, for a lot of people, and I've certainly experienced this in the past more, that when our kids are different than us, that's a very scary place to be, because number one, we don't know how to handle it as a parent, but also we have fear that we want things to work out for our child.
Yeah.
And so these are all great things to talk about with us at Bull City, because this is the real inner work as a healthy adult to do, so that we can, move through our fears and rigidity of how we live our life. Of course, everybody in my family should be exactly like me because I raised them. No, that's not how it happens. And the world would be very boring if that was how it happened. But coming to a place as a adult caregiver and parent to be able to, be okay with the differences of our children is a pretty cool place. I honor my son when I let him be who he is, even though he may be moving through A, B, or C wildly different than I would. But that's his deal. And I want to honor his journey and his life experience. He's got to figure it out just like I have to figure it out. And I can be here to support him however I can be helpful. I can't do the work for him, but being able to be at a place, we can help people be able to be comfortable when they're not feeling fully comfortable and confident about how to be a parent in a certain situation. This is probably a big area for a lot of parents to get comfortable with. And it's okay to not know how to do everything. It's really okay. And that's what we're here for. I think that I would really love to, at some point soon, start like a weekly parent group. I think would be super helpful. And so be looking out for that, because probably Celinda and I will get something in the works around that. And we'll do this class first and see what kind of interest we have. Now, will this be online or in person, Celinda?
In person at the
Okay.
Bull City Psychotherapy Office.
Okay, that's great. Maybe we'll also offer one online to reach people outside of our area. So we'll kind of explore that. Everybody kind of keep an ear out for that. If you're interested, shoot us an email and let us know that you might be interested in the online version, because online we can work with people all around the world around this topic. So and a support group, that's something that we can expand as well. It can be something supportive, not like a therapy processing group. Okay, great. Well, I think this is good for a part one. This might be a part one of a much bigger conversation, but this was lovely, Celine. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I want to just put the date out there for the class, the initial run of the class. I'm sure we'll probably do it again. April 23rd, 2024, at 6 p.m., 6 to 7:30, at the Bull City Psychotherapy offices. It's going to be a $10 cost, and you can email me to sign up. My email is on the website, and there are links to that all over the podcast. So,
And there's a limited number of people, so you'll want to. We have a pretty big conference room, but it's not huge, and so probably like 8, 10 people max. And so you'll want to get in touch with us sooner rather than later if you want to register. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you that night.
That's right. Appreciate it. Thanks for this today, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Celine. Great to be here with you. And bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to
Bye-bye.
another episode of Sex in the Bull City. We will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.